download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Thank you very much for staying with us after that political forum. Joining us now is a gentleman. We've had him on previously here on Monday Night Talk, and he is currently running for Attorney General. We have Mr. John Miller joining us for a few moments. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's great to be here.
How are things out on the campaign trail running for the state's Attorney General?
Well, it's a lot of fun. I'm surprised how interesting it is meeting people across the state. We've been out west. We've been down to the Cape. We've been down in South Shore, North Shore. It's a bigger state. I wish we could just have everything in order, but it's more of a hopscotch. It's hopscotch out there.
I have to ask you, what's it like? I know that there was a recent article in the Boston Globe that calls you a noteworthy AG hopeful. How does that feel, knowing that you have a major newspaper here in the Commonwealth putting somewhat of a stamp of approval on you?
Well, it's great. We've had two very nice articles from the Lowell Sun last week, and a great article from the Mass Lawyers Weekly. I think the reason for that is that I'm such a different candidate. I'm really kind of an atypical candidate for Attorney General. You know, our last four Attorney Generals have been the Middlesex DA before running for Attorney General. And this time, there's no DA in the race. There's no experienced criminal prosecutor in the race. So I think it's great for the state, because this isn't about only about whether you've been a Middlesex DA.
I guess I have to ask you, and it probably would have been the common sense question to ask you to start out the interview, but it's okay. What is the reason why you've decided to run for this office?
Well, I think we need some common sense Main Street experience back in the Attorney General's office, and we haven't had that since Frank Bellotti, who came from the private sector. He was in private law practice as a criminal defense lawyer. You know, someone who understands the world from the other side, from people's side, who lived in on Main Street. I was in a law firm for many years practicing law. I have a broad education, a different educational background, and kind of a different set of experiences that from Main Street that I think all of us need in the AG's office. I'll be focused on the job, and I just will not be driven by ideology or it's not a farm system up there. And, we need someone who's interested, who wants the job and doesn't.
Oh, that's good to know. I guess another thing I want to ask you is about something I was reading on your website, that you want to tackle crime openly and honestly. What does that mean?
Well, I think, it's been a long time since we've had an Attorney General that's willing to lead on crime. And what I mean by that is, we spend $5 billion a year, taxpayer dollars a year, and we don't have an outcomes-based approach to crime. And I think the legislature has reacted to we have a very bad event, and then the legislature reacts and puts a Band-Aid on that piece. And I think I've called for a crime summit that I will open in March 2015. We're going to get everybody in the room. I've done this before for at the American Bar Association when we were attacking fraud, waste, and abuse and taxpayer dollars and contracts. But we need the same kind of effort in the criminal area. And, we really need to step back, take a look. We haven't looked at our statutes and our criminal laws, for example, with respect to warrant searches of phones, since the smartphone. And, criminals are using digital technology to stay ahead of prosecutors, and drug cartels are using smartphones, throwaway smartphones. And we need to just kind of step back. We need to step up our game. We need to fight crime with 21st century technology. And we haven't taken a serious look because nobody has led. Now, I'm not saying that the AG should be in the business of telling district attorneys what to do and how to handle crime in the counties. But we need someone to lead, to be the trumpeter, and to lead, to be more effective in how taxpayer dollars are spent. And I think, Kevin, that's an idea that hasn't had legs in the state, in the AG's office, because we've we've not had someone who comes from the private sector who understands that you have to make decisions about value. You're spending taxpayer dollars, and it should be effective, constitutional always. But we really need to think that again and kind of catch up. We're behind.
Right. I have to ask, kind of staying maybe somewhat along the same lines, and I know it's kind of a sore spot with some folks, illegal immigration. How do you feel you would tackle illegal immigration if you are the next AG?
Well, I went to the hearings down in Bourne when the governor was talking about taking kids and processing them through Otis Air Force Base, and you know we are a border state now, and it's time to act like one. I have no problem. I have no argument with any kid who's in this state in the temporary custody of the federal government, you know, who's seeking asylum or seeking to immigrate. It's not about immigration policy. But I think I've also been to Lynn. You know, there's 1,000 kids that have been have landed in the Lynn City school systems in the last 3 years. Now, that's not right. The federal government is still in technical custody of those kids, but the city of Lynn is responsible to educate them, and that's okay. But I think the state should be implementing our education laws not to punish all the kids in Lynn, and I mean both immigrant kids and Lynn, American citizens in Lynn. You know, the only victims here are kids, and I went to a city school. It makes me quite upset to think that 1,000 kids are in the city of Lynn, and the state's not helping. So I think we need to do more.
And does that fall under your because when you were with us previously, you had talked about a 3-point plan for Massachusetts Safe Plan. Is that part of that, or is that something different?
It is part of it. I think. Yes, Chapter 70, the state education's law. There's funds that are allocated by the state legislature to cities and towns based on formulas. Those formulas haven't been updated in 30 years. Number one, and what the city of Lynn, you can't make this stuff up, Kevin. The city of Lynn finds out what it should have spent in the last academic year, 6 months after that year closes, and then the state either rewards or punishes the city of Lynn based on those expenditures per pupil. And put into that mix 300, 400 kids a year that are unexpectedly arrive and go to Lynn City Schools. They're tipping over a city school system. And, the Fed should be held accountable for that financially, at least.
I guess I would ask you, again, we're just so folks know, we are speaking with Mr. John Miller, who is running for Attorney General. I guess I would ask you, being, having an agency like that, how do you feel your agency will work well with, like, the auditor's office, another investigating agency?
Well, I think it's interesting. I've been following some of the recent reports about the auditor. The auditor's being sued by her top aide. In the allegations and in a federal suit for wrongful termination. And what you hear about how the auditor's office is operating and the number of audits, the depth of the audits, it's shameful. And, the auditor should be much more active. But, the attorney general is independent and a second pair of eyes. The attorney general can stand up an investigation of the auditor. So I think, I'm very troubled when I hear that audit reports that are not finalized are being vetted by third parties. So I don't know if you followed that story, Kevin, in the news, but it's pretty frightening. If the subject of an audit is being advised that they're being audited and the results of those audits before they're finalized, it calls into question the integrity of the whole auditing system. So, part of the AG's job is to give advice, and I think one of my first stops, I believe Patricia St. Aubin will be the auditor, but if one of the first stops is to remind the auditor of her requirement to be independent.
Well, I got to ask you, we got just a couple of moments with you. Is there anything we haven't touched upon during our segment that you want to make sure you at least share with the listeners?
Yeah, sure. There are a couple things. I think the AG's office has really dropped the ball in a number of areas. You know, one of them is on the healthcare connector. It's becoming increasingly clear that procurement laws were circumvented in the award of the contract that led to this web application development out at University of Massachusetts Medical School. Now, the state has lost, taxpayers have lost $200 million. Now, that's a couple schools in the city of Lynn. And I just think the AG's been asleep at the switch. With respect to the probation scandal, you know, the only people who don't understand the larceny laws of this state appear to be insiders on Beacon Hill and insiders in the Attorney General's office. You know, I just think we need to put a stake in the ground again and remind people, you know, just as I've reminded my clients over the last 36 years, you interfere with the award of a contract or a job or any other benefit coming out of the state, it's larceny. And I just think it's time for someone from outside, not part of the farm system, you know, people who are trying to be governor, but with a way stop at the Attorney General's office. You know, it's time for an AG who wants the job, will do the job, and who doesn't care about the title.
Again, we are speaking with John Miller, who's running for Attorney General. You can find out more details about him on his website, millerforag.com. And, you know, we just have just a couple of weeks left. What do you plan on doing to kind of get around the Commonwealth and let folks know that you're a serious candidate for Attorney General?
Well, I think we've got three more debates upcoming. I've been traveling the state every day actually, and I'm going to continue to do that right up until November 4th. So I'm looking forward to all that and continue to meet good people. There's 6 million of us who want impartial interpretation of the law and partial enforcement of the law. So I'm very confident that this message is going to resonate and we're going to win. It's Miller time on November 4th, Kevin.
No, it literally and figuratively, right?
Yep.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being a guest. And what we would hope is if you are elected the next Attorney General, we would love to have you on a somewhat regular basis, whether it's, every couple of months, maybe quarterly, just to kind of find out, get the pulse of what's going on in the Attorney General's office.
Oh, it's essential, and we're going to be a lot more transparent about what the AG's office does. It's very important for people to understand how the law works, how it's impartially applied, and that's an easy commitment to make, Kevin.
That was John Miller joining us, Attorney General, running for the office of the State Attorney General.